So hello and welcome to episode 44 of the Pure Tokyo Scope podcast. I am Patrick Macias, the author of Tokyo Scope, the Japanese cult film companion.
And I'm Matt Ault, the author of Pure Invention, How Japan Made the Modern World. Patrick, is it true this episode is in smell-o-vision?
Well, it should be, yeah. I mean, we didn't get to Shakey's Pizza this time, but it is our first anniversary. Matt, this week marks the one-year anniversary of the Pure Tokyo Scope podcast.
Wow, we're 1 year old. You know, we were pretending that every episode was like aging, but now we're back to age one. That kind of probably suits our personalities better.
So we get to sit in the high chair and someone brings us a cake with one candle on it and we just like stuff our face with it and get it all over the place and it's really cute. Is that how this works?
Do we get to start screaming when somebody turns the channel from Speed Racer to the news? Is that what's going to start happening?
I was definitely screaming the other day when I saw something pop up on my news feed, Matt. What y'all know about Bandai announces Shin Robo Universe toy.
So let's describe this for people who are just listening with their ear holes instead of watching with their eye holes. Bandai is a toy company, and Bandai releases all sorts of wild toys that are based on not only, you know, character franchises and things like that, but they make their own kind of original stuff too. And starting a couple of years back, more than a couple of years now, we're dating ourselves, they started to do these original, like, combining robots that featured characters that not only don't combine, but they aren't even robots. So for instance, there was like Buzz Lightyear, there was like a Disney one with like all of the Toy Story characters like combining into a giant robot, right? Remember that?
Oh, it was like Mickey, Donald. Yeah, I do kind of have like vague memories. Nothing from Song of the South though, for some reason. I couldn't figure that out.
Now, our buddy Adam of Bandai was involved in making that one happen. And then after that, they did a Fujiko F. Fujio one with like Doraemon and like, I think, Obake no Kyutaro and like a bunch of different characters from Fujiko F. Fujio that combine into a giant robot.
Was Paw Man part of that? He's my favorite.
Actually, my favorite Fujio F. Fujio character is, this is a joke that probably most people aren't going to get in the States because so little of it's available there. He keeps putting this dude who does nothing but eat ramen in his manga. Like, he's literally everywhere. If you start looking for him, he's just this guy permanently, you know, slurping ramen noodles into his lips. Why didn't they make a binding robot of him?
But wait, Matt, that's me. I feel seen.
That is, you better get a Ouija board out and tell Fujiko F. Fujio that you demand royalties. So, you know, Japan is a country of giant robots. Did you know this, Patrick? Were you aware of combining robot culture?
Are we inside the robot kingdom right now, Matt?
You know, at some level, perhaps we're all combining giant robots. But that brings us to the current moment, which is this very strange SJHU project, Shin Universe Robo, which was announced on May 19. And it is a combination. It is a titanic combination of what?
It's a combination of all the different iterations of these Shin Japan heroes that Hideaki Anno has given us over the years. There's Shin Godzilla, Evangelion, Shin Kamen Rider, and how could I forget Shin Ultraman? The thing is, like, a few months back, they announced some sort of Shin Universe Japan project, and it was very vague, and people began speculating, wow, are they going to combine these characters together into, like, a new Avengers-style movie or, like, a video game or something? We did not expect a crazy, chonky-looking toy that all combined together into one thing that should not be, but I feel kind of blessed that's what we got.
It's pretty odd. So, like, you know, Ultraman and Evangelion form the arms and legs, respectively. The body is like Godzilla with his head like rotated down on his chest, kind of like if you're an old Japanese robot toy collector, like Daltonius. And the head, Shin Kamen Rider forms the head. And I'm going to quote a critic of, you know, fine art and design from the movie Predator. He's like, "You one ugly mother." This is one of the single, I'm sorry, I love you, Bandai. I love you. I love you to death. This is one of the single ugliest things I have ever seen in my entire life. It is so weird looking. I don't know. I'm scared, Patrick.
I had to check the date and it wasn't April Fool's Day. This is like a real thing. And I was like, wow, they're really going to go for it. And it turns out it's selling for about 20,000 yen. So it's just shy of about 170 bucks. So they're only selling it through kind of like premium Bandai channels and places like the Godzilla store. It's not going to be a mass market item. And I think it's so dumb and ugly and crazy, people are just kind of falling in love with it and they're going to want it. And then they're probably going to want to sell it 6 months later when the novelty wears off.
It's really odd. I mean, you know, none of these characters have anything to do with each other in the quote unquote real world, where, you know, by the real world, I mean like, you know, Ultraman and like the Evangelion and Godzilla series. That's the real world, right? None of them have anything to do with one another. So it's, and none of, like, Godzilla's organic. How is he combining with these things? Is this real, Patrick? Is this real?
Well, it is real because the promotion promotion video they made for it is pretty incredible. And speaking of real, you really need to watch it because it combines kind of like all the four CG characters, Ultraman, Godzilla, Kamen Rider, combining, and then they reveal that they made an actual tokusatsu man in a monster suit for this thing. And it's stomping around like a Power Rangers Zord. There's a theme song, like a crazy tokusatsu theme song. And it's about a minute long, but it might be the greatest minute of your life. So I highly advise everyone check it out.
This toy might be wrong, but the campaign is all right. You know, we're friends with people at Bandai. I think we should make it our mission to one of us has to wear the suit. We have to find the suit and somebody has to climb inside. That's going to be a mission. I'm feeling this.
I mean, I feel like that's training to be an astronaut or something. I don't think anyone gets out of that suit alive, dude.
It must smell. Actually, it probably smells okay since it's always only been worn once. You really wonder about those, like the Godzilla suits at the end of the, or the Ultraman suit at the end of the series. I don't think you can dry clean those things, man.
Yeah, we'll see how far they can make this joke go. Now that there's a suit, I mean, they theoretically could do a series of some kind, a movie of some kind, and the future's wide open.
I never imagined things would turn out like this. I never, you know, there's lots of bad things happening in the world, but this happened, and I guess this is good, sort of, kind of.
Well, on a similar note, for item two for the news here, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom sold 10 million copies in the first 3 days of its release, becoming the franchise fastest selling game. So this is like world news. The BBC, who's just like hot off the coronation, posted this story called Tears of the Kingdom, Zelda's Escapism Helps Us Through Tough Times.
Nintendo's Zelda Tears of the Kingdom is a certified hit, breaking series sales records and probably filling your social feeds with gameplay videos. Its open world, focus on exploration, and overall depth has earned it overwhelmingly positive reviews from critics and players. And its new crafting mechanic has spawned dozens of viral videos showing off gamers' bizarre creations. But for some fans, it's more than just a game. They've been telling BBC Newsbeat how Zelda and the communities that formed around it have helped them through difficult times.
That's touching. And these are tough times. You know, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Isn't that what Charles Dickens was writing about? The latest Zelda game dropping? I'm pretty sure that's what A Tale of Two Cities was about.
It is pretty tough out there because they've raised the price of movie tickets in Japan by 100 yen. And also, you can no longer get free miso soup at the Matsuya beef bowl chains. You have to spend 60 yen.
They're also raising the price of JR tickets. Like, train ticket prices are going up. It's going to cost me like 15 or even 20 more yen to get to Nakano. That's just, I don't know. I'm going to have to make my spam last longer every week, I guess.
If only there was a video game that was made by Japanese creators that could help me through these tough times, Matt.
Actually, on a serious note, because you know we're always serious, I find it really fascinating that again and again in this corona to quote unquote post-corona time period, it's Japanese products that keep like scoring big. The first huge hit during, you know, the early months of the pandemic was, of course, Animal Crossing. Do you know? Another Nintendo game. And then it turned out that same year that at the end of the year, it became clear that a Demon Slayer, you know, Kimetsu no Yaiba, Mugen Train, Infinity Train, whatever the mouthful of a name of it is in English, became the top grossing film box office wise on the planet. And now we have this.
Well, then last year around this time, it was Elden Ring, which was from our buddies at Bandai. And that was huge as well.
So, a very happy game. Very happy game. Very pleasant. That's like an escape from the horrors of real life. You get to go and die again and again and again. I don't think there's a lot of dying going on in this new Zelda game, though.
Now, there's a quote from this BBC article that says,
a gamer named Darby says, if you're finding every day a struggle in real life, you can just get out Zelda, and because the world is so bright, you can just escape.
Matt, I feel like I'm reading a commercial for Nintendo.
You know, in the future, it's just like Walter Mondale said back in 1983. In the future, American kids are going to be sweeping up around Japanese computers. How right he was. But you know, the really interesting thing about this game is, I don't know if you've been watching any of the playthrough videos. You can find these online. Like, one of the big mechanics of it is that you can build tools to kind of navigate the world. Like, and it starts out with like a wooden raft and things like that. But as you adventure through, you can find like all sorts of parts, like little, like, you know, fan engines and like like weapons and things and build up kind of vehicles and stuff. And Japanese gamers have been, I wouldn't say breaking the system because it's designed to do this, but they've been building like giant robots and stuff. So you can put Link in there and kind of like bash through the world with like lasers coming out of your eyes and like stomping on things. And it seems pretty cool because, you know, the game obviously wasn't really designed to be played that way, but it wasn't not designed to be played that way either. So that actually, you know, the idea of like putting him in a giant robot and running around made me actually want to pick up a controller for the first time in years and start playing.
I have a confession to make. I've never actually played a Zelda game.
Oh, really?
In my life. Yeah, there's no C4. There's no sniper rifles. You know, there's no headshots.
Let's go. Let's turn the clock back, Patrick. The very first Legend of Zelda game, it came in that like gold cartridge for the Nintendo Entertainment System. I played the hell out of that thing. That was amazing. It's a proto RPG in a lot of ways, even though there's none of like the kind of the cutscenes and like, you know, forming of parties and things like that. I know it wasn't actually the first RPG on a computer or on a video game system, but it kind of felt like it was to a lot of kids. Zelda's really interesting because almost the same team has been making the games since the beginning. Like Miyamoto Shigeru, the same guy who came up with Super Mario Brothers and who directed the very first one, he stepped down in like 99, I think, and handed the reins over to the current guys. But they've been going strong. And so like the dude who wrote the script of this, the co-director is like 60. Video games are like a young guy's world. Like it's a pretty brutal field to be in on almost every level, or young ladies. And so it's interesting, these two gentlemen who are not young have succeeded so amazingly in continuing to make these hit, because the previous one was a big hit too, Breath of the Wild, right?
Yeah, I'm just sad to see that Tomonobu Itagaki was not on the team for Zelda from Team Ninja there. He didn't get the old band back together.
Zelda Gaiden? You know, actually, Legend of Zelda is famed in the West as it was the favorite game of Robin Williams, I believe.
Wait, isn't his daughter, isn't she on Twitter? Isn't she named Zelda?
Yeah, she's named Zelda. I'm pretty sure it's not after F. Scott Fitzgerald's wife. I think it's named after Zelda in the game. So Robin Williams was actually a huge gamer slash toy, you know, player, collector kind of guy. She posted pictures of his kind of, I don't know if you call it, playroom sounds like really gross, but I mean this like in a sense of like his rumpus room, let's call it that. And it was full of Japanese toys.
There's like reports of him visiting Toy Tokyo in New York and going on shopping sprees. He, of course, drops like a Neon Genesis Evangelion into a 1 hour photo. It's a shame that Evangelion doesn't transform with some other toys in the store and becomes like a Shin Robin Williams universe project robo.
That's the next Bandai. Aladdin can be the body. What else can you have? He started doing all those dark movies toward the end of his career. Maybe those can be the pilots, you know, of whatever giant robot this turns into.
He could combine with Bicentennial Man, the Robin Williams movie where he plays a robot that I'm sure you remember without me having to explain what it is.
Didn't Mork from Ork arrived in like a giant egg? Is that like Tamagoras, the old Bandai series of eggs that transformed into robots?
It's like Ultra Seven's Capsule Kaiju or something like that.
Something like that. It is. He was ahead of his time, that Robin Williams. But at any rate, where were we? We were talking about Zelda. What's next?
What's next on the agenda, Matt? I'm getting hungry as usual. And there's one thing you know about me. It's I came to Japan just for the Burger King. And wow, they are really over delivering with this next story, Matt.
Oh, man.
Burger King Japan is offering a 45-minute all-you-can-eat course. Okay, here are the details. There's a special Tabe Hodai campaign going on at Burger King Japan. Tabe Hodai means all you can eat, like in the Fat Boy sense, right? $3.99 for all you can eat while I'm stuffing my face to a fucking beat. They're doing this at 11 stores across Japan, 3 locations in Tokyo. They're limited to 6 to 9 people per session. And for 45 minutes, you get to eat as much as you can of the Strong the One Pounder. That's what they're calling this burger.
I thought that's what they called me. I thought that's what people called me. No. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Go on.
It's a super large burger with a total weight of 461 grams, 4 patties, and a total calorie count of 1,209 calories. But who's counting? This is the kind of thing like going to the opera. You have to book it in advance, and it costs 3,900 yen, which is about US $28. So it's all you can eat. You can only eat as many Strong the One Pounders as you want. You can't order everything on the menu, but as part of the deal, you can get a free drink and fries, and you also get a t-shirt that says Strong the One Pounder.
This would require some actual investigation. I haven't been to a Burger King in years, but how much does a Strong the One Pounder cost?
I'll tell you how much a Strong the One Pounder costs. It's 1,840 yen by itself.
Okay, so that's a pound of meat.
It's a pound of flesh, according to The Merchant of Venice.
Shakespeare, yes. You know, I've never gone into a situation at a fast food restaurant and like supersized it and been like, damn, I wish I could get another one. You know what I mean? Like, I've never I've never wanted to eat all I could eat there. I noticed they're actually not making the fries all you can eat, because that's something I could totally see paying for. But like all you can eat, man, that's crazy. That's crazy talk, Patrick.
Yeah, I usually don't ask myself, how could I feel more salty and bloated than I do after this like basic set meal? But there is a way.
I had to give it up, man. I had to give up McDonald's and stuff like that. I was just feeling like crap after eating that stuff. Sorry, McDonald's.
So this is kind of like an elimination challenge kind of thing. It seems that Burger King Japan does these all-you-can-eat one-pounder challenges 4 times a year. And at the end of the year, they announce the one-pounder challenge finals, and they invite the 2 people who finish the most burgers each time to kill each other, Highlander style.
Or like Battle Royale. It's more like Battle Burger Royale. Is that what they're going to call this? A Royale with cheese? Is that what they're going to call this? I'm trying to, but you said elimination competition, and I was like, yeah, this is definitely an elimination competition of some kind. As a side note, what is up with Strong recently? There's like, okay, Strong the one pounder, and then there's Strongu Tansan, which is what the like Wilkinson sparkling water, you know, seltzer water bottle is marketed under.
And who could forget Strong Zero, which every old person in my neighborhood seems to drink outside the Combini before like 9 a.m.
Strong Zero is literally the crack cocaine of the elderly community here, and now it's being exported to the States. This is the great news. At a slightly lesser 6%, as opposed to like the 9.9, it's insanely powerful.
Isn't there
stuff.
A 12? I think there also might be a 12 out there.
Oh, it's brutal. And those tall boys, that, I mean, it's tough for like a big boy like me to make it through one of those. I can't imagine if you're like a frail elderly person. It's either like college students or really frail elderly people. There's like nothing in between customer-wise who drinks this thing. And how can we forget? Kamen Rider Stronger. Did he start this? I'm pretty sure he started this. Somebody did.
And since we're talking about like fast food and Strong Zeros and things that are theoretically bad for you, but also a lot of fun to indulge in sometimes, the last story in our new segment is called I'm a Nutritionist from Japan, Home to the World's Longest Lived People. Here are the 6 American foods I never eat.
I love this article. Do you want to? I don't think we need to read the entire article, but we should at least go down the list. What are the worst foods on the planet, Patrick? What are they?
Okay, this is the number one American food that a nutritionist from Japan would never eat. Number one, hot dogs.
Did she say lips and assholes? Is that why she said she doesn't eat them?
No, she says they're too American and you should eat tofu instead if you want to get protein.
Right, okay. Okay, yeah, because you know, when I'm in the mood for a greasy, greasy sausage, I'm like, you know what? Or maybe I could just have a block of cold tofu instead. I often think that to myself. That's why I'm healthy and you guys are all sick. What's number two?
Number two is fast food hamburgers, which is bad news for me because I just signed up for the all-you-can-eat at Burger King. But it says here what I should do instead is eat tofu in a surprising twist that will shock and astound you.
It's true. It's totally true. Because whenever I'm like, should I have a Royale with cheese or should I just have a slab of cold tofu? And then I always go for the slab of cold tofu. That's why I'm like 102 years old right now. And you guys are all like 5.
Number 3, sugary sodas. No Dr. Pepper, no Mr. Pibb.
Nope.
No Barg's old fashioned root beer, no Jolt Cola.
Not even Tab, Patrick?
Is Pocari Sweat okay? What about Yakult? Do those count?
You know what you should drink instead? Tofu.
No, it says green tea. We're mixing it up a little bit here,
okay,
Matt.
Okay. That's good. Okay, that's fine. I prefer Mugi Cha myself. I'm a Mugi man, but I can go with that.
Number 4 is going to hit you right where it hurts, Matt. No sugary breakfast cereals.
No. Oh, wow. I can't have Captain Crunch anymore?
Yeah, but Matt, Pac-Man cereal is fortified with 8 essential vitamins and is part of a nutritious breakfast.
That's what Christian Bale told me. He was the pitch man for that. Like a larval Christian Bale was the kid on that commercial.
New Pac-Man, the cereal, a delicious part of this nutritious breakfast.
Okay, so no sugary cereals, but you know what you can have for breakfast?
Tofu?
Natto.
What kind of tofu? That's like fermented tofu, sort of.
Stinky fermented soybeans, Matt. Would you rather have that instead of Captain Crunch or Cookie Crisp? Lucky Charms? They're always after me, Lucky Charms, Matt.
Okay, God, tofu. Fine, tofu, beans, green tea. What's next?
Okay, number 5 is cream cheese. Matt, I feel seen. I feel like this woman has been into my house when I'm not here and looking around in my refrigerator.
I'm literally applying cream cheese to my bagel right now. I just dropped it on the floor. I was so shocked at this.
No, you should eat Kinako spread instead. You should put that on your poppy seed bagel that you got at Noah's.
Kinako? Why, that, Kinako to me is, Kinako is like roasted soybean flour again. Are you know? Wait a second. Are we going to find out? Is she a shill for the soy lobby? Is she in the soybean industry? I love Kinako, by the way. Kinako is great. It's like roasted soybean powder. It's like super umami. It's like a powder. There must be some Kinako based spread that I'm not aware of. It's the kind of thing you sprinkle on like sundaes and parfaits here. Is she loco? Is this real?
Yeah, when you hear number six, you're definitely going to think she's loco.
Okay, what is...
Number six is candy. No candy, Matt. Eat tofu. Eat tofu when you want candy, okay?
I always pop tofu blocks when I'm you know, I'm on the road, you know, like normally I want, like when you want like a Ludens or something like that, you should have a pocket full of tofu at all times that you can dip into, put a pinch between cheek and gum, and you won't have that craving for candy anymore. That's what I learned.
Sour Patch tofu, do they have that?
What was that stuff? Lick-M-Aid. Do you remember that? It was like...
Oh, I know Lick-M-Aid. Yeah, the Lick-A-Stick.
Yes, it was like cocaine for kids, except you licked it instead of snorted it.
Mama, come here quick and give me that licking stick. Is that a James Brown reference?
There was a very brief fad at my junior high school for kids who snorted pixie sticks. They heard some adult saying nose candy. I'm not even making this up.
Wow. Is this a Judy Blum novel, man?
This is totally. Are you there, God? It's me.
It's me snorting pixie sticks at 3 a.m. in the morning because I heard someone say nose candy.
Okay. Are we up to number seven? Is that the last one?
The last one is no candy, Matt, but there is one singular omission from this list that's good news for you and me.
What is that?
Doesn't say anything about Shakey's or pepperoni pizza. So we're going to Shakey's. This is it.
I thought you were going to say number eight, the worst thing in the world for you. Tofu. Ha ha ha. Got you. Yes. Do they have tofu pizza at Shakey's?
Well, after that Easter Bunny pizza monstrosity they were selling there a few weeks ago, that anything's possible. We can go there and ask them. We should go there and ask them. We got to get this Shakey's thing off the ground.
Who would win in a fight, the tofu lobby or the Shakey's lobby? That's really the big question.
Your friends at Shakey's know just how.
Shakey's that. 笑顔まで美味しいアメリカン。今、ピザとサラダを買うと抽選でアメリカンプレゼント。
Naturally. Well, Matt, we've had a lot of fun today on the Pure Tokyo Scope podcast, but there's nothing funny about all-you-can-eat Burger King menus where you have to kill the last person who ate more hamburgers than you at the end.
I don't know about you, man, but I think I'm in the mood for a nice cold slab of tofu. With Kinako on top and green tea. That's what I'm having for lunch.
Yeah, happy birthday, Matt. Happy birthday to the Pure Tokyo Scope podcast. Now I know what to get you. Tofu, tofu, tofu.
And more tofu. Can we make a combining robot where like five blocks of tofu combine into a invincible defender of world freedom and justice? I'm calling Bandai. Wait, this is mine. Royalties accrue to me, I swear.
Wait, don't they have a customer hotline that you call all the time and request information about the BBC? Senshi Gundam line.
Moshi moshi.
Can we tell that story? I love that story.
We were out with the Bandai guys, and one of the young women who was...
It was a Bandai girl.
It was a Bandai guys, a Bandai girl, and she was a office, you know, person there, and she said there was this customer who they had all nicknamed Moshi Moshi-kun, because he kept calling up, and at all hours of the day, and at the customer service line, and they would always send him to her desk and their office, and they would all kind of send him around. He demanded more BB Senshi super deformed Gundam figures. That was like all he was doing was begging for them.
He was asking nicely, right? He was very persistent.
Moshi moshi.
You shouldn't give up on your dreams, right?
You shouldn't. And my dreams certainly are more BB Senshi Gundam. My dream is to become Moshi Moshi Kun.
Yeah, on our first anniversary, we ask for you to do something for us in the form of a present. Leave 5-star reviews wherever you can and subscribe to our show and spread the word. We like doing the show. We like doing it for people. So the more the merrier.
Yes. On the first anniversary of this podcast, our listeners gave to me. Is that what you're trying to say?
BB Senshi.
BB Senshi. And a block of tofu. Don't send tofu. Don't give tofu. We're going straight for pizza after this.
What about tofu kozo?
Tofu kozo. Good memory. Yes. One of the most epic Edo era yokai. It's just a kid with a block of tofu. It's pretty terrifying when you think about him.
I hate that guy.
He's there. He's out there. He's watching us.
No, I want the yokai to bring me the 1-pound challenge burger.
Wait a second. Maybe the woman who wrote that article about like how bad, you know, Western food for you is actually Tofu Kozo, shape-shifted like yokai do, trying to trick us. You know what? I'm going to have a hamburger, a hot dog, a sugary soda, some cereal, and candy just to prove that it can be done today. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, who's stronger, Tofu Kozo or the Hamburglar, Matt?
Well, on that note,
thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.
Catch you next time, Tofu Kozos.
SD 戦国編天下統一編あらアレックス参上あら
しっくりしのゆう
おいおい SD ガンダム BB 戦士